Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again for our weekly health talks with Dr. Trinh, where we talk about the cutting edge concepts and latest and greatest trends taking over the healthcare industry. Like this one we've mentioned before, we're going to talk about a very disruptive, unusual healthcare model again here today, one that Dr. Trinh's very excited about, very involved in. It's called MD Dow. Welcome back, Dr. Trinh.
Good to see you, Paul. Yes, I want to chat and let you know about an upcoming health summit.
Yes.
That we are going to be.
Give us a quick summary of MD Dow. Again, it's a decentralized something organization.
So it stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization.
Yeah, it's a different way to set up a company where the people are more like a co-op. Everybody has a stake and a say in.
So if I were to compare a DAO, which is a relatively new organization, to a traditional organization like a C-Corp or an S-Corp or an LLC.
Right.
The difference is this. In a traditional organization, you have the executive team, right? You got the president, the COO, and all that. And then you have a board of directors.
And they call the shots, right?
They call the shots, right? Between the executive team and the board of directors, they call the shots and they make the decisions on what happens with the company and the direction of the company.
And they convince the rest of us to buy in or buy the product. You join Amazon and you follow their rules and you do it their way. And you get the benefit, but I have no say over how Amazon works or what they carry. I have no say over Blue Cross program or if I'm a member of Memorial Care or whatever. I have no say of how they run it. I hope they listen to me sometimes, but it's their company. I'm just there to get services from them. You're saying this is, I actually get a stake in it. I get a say in it.
So in a traditional organization, everything's top down as far as this business are being made.
Right.
In a traditional LLCS, board directors and executive committee. In this new structure called the DAO, which is Decentralized Autonomous Organization, rather than a board, there is no board. The organization and the decisions is made by the members of the DAO through a voting process. And usually it's through majority vote decisions are made.
Right.
It's kind of like a stock. Remember where if you own a company or have stocks in a company, sometimes you get this thing that says shareholders vote and the shareholders get to vote on the new leaders or whatever that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
similar to how some companies became employee-owned companies, where if you worked for United Airlines, I think they were one of them for a while. I don't know if they still are. The employees got stock ownership. As the company succeeded, so did they. They didn't just get a salary. They didn't just get a service. They got a say. They got a stake in the game. And yours goes beyond that. It's not just a little stake. It is like a co-op. And the old idea of co-ops, that we all came together and created some clinic or some, the orange growers used to be a co-op and stuff. And they all had kind of an equal say. Not kind of, they all had an equal say in how this organization ran. And they
very, very much like a co-op.
Right.
So the members of the DAO get to vote on decisions that affect the organization.
So that's one aspect of it that people have to wrap their head around. This is a different structure. It is more like a co-op. You're not just buying an online service or becoming a member of Costco or Amazon or something with no say. You're going to guide this and help it find its focus and its direction. Now, having said that, what's equally shocking is what the heck you guys are doing with this thing. You could create a DAO around anything, but you've created it around this healthcare community. Talk about what MD DAO does. What is this healthcare community?
Right. So healthcare have always been, interestingly enough, built and designed from the top down. And what I mean by that is in a healthcare organization, it is the executive team, the board of directors.
The doctors, everybody who's got a stake. Yeah.
So the business folks that design the structure of the healthcare system, right? That designs the finances, the flow of how healthcare is delivered.
Because the assumption is this is a complicated subject and only complicated MBAs with doctors know how to deliver this efficiently, effectively to their subscribers, to their members. We know how to deliver, and there's debates on how to do it and you know, should be an all-inclusive. The hospital owns the clinic and they own the doctor's practices, and that's how they get an economy of scale, and that's how they control this thing. Right. But what if I don't like the way it's being done? Go find another system. But they're all the same.
Absolutely. What voice do you have as a patient?
Other than picking up my marbles and going playing somewhere else, I don't have.
And leaving your medical group, leaving your insurance company to another medical group and another insurance company, that is the only voice you have.
And the thing is, why that doesn't work is because it is a monopolistic system. There aren't a lot of choices. And the choices I have are pretty much a couple, they're all kind of mirror images of the same thing, whether I'm in Blue Cross or Kaiser, whatever. Kaiser maybe has a little different, but it's pretty much the same thing. It's a fee for service. You go in when you're sick, you pay the doctor, you only have a few minutes on the assembly line to get in front of him. More and more, you're being shunted aside. You're not in a triage approach. You're not critical enough, so we're going to send you to the physician's assistant, the nurse practitioner, some other person with less medical training is going to take care of your runny nose and your cough and your cold. And the doctor is only saved for that real emergency situation there. And I don't get much time. I only see them when I'm sick. They do something, which is either a procedure or a pill, and then I leave until I need service again. That sounds sensible, except healthcare is, as you talk about, it's all time. It's a holistic approach. What you eat, how you exercise, it's stress. It's all sorts of things in your life that...
Oh, it's a holistic approach, and it's not an approach that has been focused a lot on wellness and prevention.
No, because there's no money in wellness and prevention, at least the way the system's currently set up. There's money in sickness, and there's money in providing a pill or a procedure to address your sickness.
Absolutely. I think you hit it on the spot. There isn't any money in wellness and prevention. Because if nobody came to the doctor's office because they're so healthy, these offices will close.
Right. So you've come up with, you and others are trying to reimagine healthcare, not necessarily replacing it, but giving you an alternative, another approach where, you know, you start with education. So can we all gather online and create an online community where we help each other and we educate each other and we share information and ideas? That alone is revolutionary.
And it's not us. We want our patients, we want the community, we want the members of this community to design it from the viewpoint and the eyes of the patient.
Now, we do have Dr. Lee did join us here, so he's in the waiting room right now. So we're going to pivot to try and combine these two combinations here, these two conversations about the future of healthcare. Let's bring in Dr. Lee, who's joining us. Oh, there he is.
There he is. Hey,
Dr. Lee, how are you? He's coming in. He's hooking up. Looks like he's got a baseball picture behind him here or something.
Hello.
How are you? Why is there a picture of some group of people behind you? I can't see what the picture is all about.
This is a picture I got from my mentor. It is an image of 1953 baseball champion, the Kansas City Monarchs. It was the back when they had the colored league in Kansas City, that's the 1953 championship team there.
How about that? How cool is that?
And I'm from Kansas City, so my mentor was like, I want them to know you're from Kansas City.
Until the great Jackie Robinson broke that color barrier and Branch Rickey brought him in, and they said, why are we letting all these, in those days, the Negro leagues, why are we letting all these people of color compete in their own baseball league? There's some great players. Baseball is about winning. I don't care what color you are, what size you are, who you pray to. If you can hit the ball, if you can catch the ball, let's bring him in. And that was revolutionary and changed sports forever here. So we're talking about changing medical care forever. Before you, and waiting for you to come on here, in the last 10 minutes, we started talking about this idea that Dr. Trin and others have been pioneering or playing with or experimenting with, which is there another way that we can deliver healthcare information and services without a pay-for-fee model? Right now, I just go to the doctor, I got a cough, a cold, a broken wrist, I pay them to fix it, which is usually a pill or a procedure. I get a couple minutes in front of them. Increasingly, I don't even get to see the doctor because I'm not important enough in a triage system. Go talk to the nurse practitioner, go talk to the physician's assistant, go talk to somebody else, and we'll save this doctor for that real serious issue, which means I have no communication. No information is being exchanged. No education is happening. And we're certainly not talking about anything other than the issue on the table. Your stomach is upset. Take this pill. Maybe we talk about stress. Maybe we talk about diet. Maybe we talk about exercise. No, 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 no. We don't have time to get into all that. I'm here to solve this situation. Is there another way to do it? So I don't know what your background is. Bring us up to speed here, and then we'll challenge you with that question. Is there another way to set this whole thing up?
Yeah, we were just chatting, Clarence, about MD Dow, which is an organization we just launched, which is new. It's an organization that's going on the blockchain, on the metaverse. Would love for you to get involved, actually, somehow with it as well. And we have a summit coming up. The summit's on the 18th.
So we're going to pivot back to that. But first, let's bring Dr. Lee up, audience up to speed with who Dr. Lee is and what he does. And then we'll jump him into the deep debate about, is the medical system broken? Is there alternatives we need to come up with? Or is it just fine? And we just got to make it more effective and more efficient. I don't know.
Yeah. Give us your background, Clarence.
So I'll give you the abbreviated quick version. I did medical school at Drexel University in Philadelphia. In medical school, all I wanted to do was surgery. So came out, started training in general surgery as an intern, Brooke Army Medical Center. I was in the Air Force at the time. Had an epiphany real early that, hey, procedures for time wasn't going to be a great idea for me for a lifetime of being a father and a family man. So switched the type of practice I was doing, went to the School of Aerospace Medicine. I became a flight surgeon, which is a general medical officer in the Air Force. I flew jets, took care of pilots. I did that for about 6 years. After that, after deploying about 5 times, wife was like, hey, I want you to be at home a little bit. Didn't get married to be single, so home. So I decided to separate after about 10 years of service.
Separate from the Air Force, not separate from your wife. You could have gotten the other thing. I decided to separate. I left her behind. Honey, I'm sure going to miss. It's like that silly sign. I love fishing. My wife says either choose between fishing or her. Honey, I'm sure going to miss you. Yeah.
So I decided to come out, looked for what jobs I'd be able to do. I started practicing occupational medicine for a large medical group. I did that for about 5 years, ran a few of their centers and learned a lot about business of medicine.
Good.
And after came through the pandemic, just kind of started seeing, hey, I think we can do things a little bit better. I saw the stress and the strain on healthcare. And I honestly almost left medicine.
Wow.
It was a really stressful time.
You and a lot of others had that same hard choice. Am I going to still do this?
Yeah. It was a choice. And I do a lot of other things too. So it was kind of like, hey, I don't know if I want to do this. And then I said, after deep contemplation, I'm like, hey, if I'm going to stay in medicine, I'm going to not just be a player, I'm going to influence it. So I'm going to try to change the things that need to be changed. So I can't stay in this system. I got to go out and build my own. So, and I started Exhort Health right at the end of the pandemic, and we just launched our first location here in San Marcos, California.
So that's why we have you on today. That's why we're weaving these two topics together. One of the things Dr. Trin talks about all the time is, should we reimagine medicine? Is this fee for service model not the best way to help people? It seems like it has. I mean, people are healthier, they live longer. So arguably you could say it's helped a lot of people, but it's turned into an assembly line where you just come in, you pay your fee, you get your 5 minutes of service and you leave. And is healthcare something that, yes, if I get a broken bone, you fix it and I leave. But is everything in healthcare that simple, or is it the word we always hear, holistic? It's not, if you've got a problem, we got to analyze it from lots of different angles here. Maybe it's your lifestyle. Maybe it's your diet. Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's community. Lots of aspects come into this. And rather than having an ongoing consultant, I don't see my physician as my health partner, as my health coach. I see him as my mechanic. The car's broken, fix it.
Ooh, that's a good point. Clarence, aren't you more holistic now? You do a lot of like mindset stuff.
I do. So I'll tell you really quick, in the Air Force, the flight surgeon, typically in the medical model, you'll have a medical chain of command. You work for a hospital, your doctor, your boss is in the medical chain.
Right.
But the Air Force, an operational asset, so I'm in with the guys. And so the flight surgeon is the only guy that can say if a guy can go or can't go. Mm-hmm. So the pilots aren't going to tell you anything if they don't trust you. They're doing great. Like when you first come in, how you doing? I'm doing
awesome. Doing great. I got no problems here today. Well, you're going to
have my life, Doc. So the reason I bring that up is because it was a great way to practice medicine, because it taught me how to build rapport with the patient. And in the Air Force flight medicine, you took care of their entire family. So I needed to know everything that was going on with that guy, because if there was something going on with his family or his kid or anything, then that could affect his ability to accomplish the mission. So it was a really great way to build rapport, be integrated and see the whole patient and to make decisions off of that. So that was how I was, I mean, right out of medical school, I went into, that's how I learned how to practice medicine, was to know my people. You need to know your guys.
But I don't think doctors have the time to really know the whole story. I'm here, particularly if you're a specialist and if you're even in a fee for service, I'm here. What's your problem? Please identify your problem and I will spit out a solution. Next.
Absolutely.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I think the problem is twofold, and I'll just tell you, I'll just go right for where I think the issue
is. Yeah, that's, we're trying to open
it up. The issue is, one, medicine is being run like business. So you've gone away from the independent doc, the doc being leadership and control, the physician being the CEO, if you will, to private equity coming in and driving it for efficiency. So now you're coming in with this black belt, Six Sigma stuff coming into medicine, right? And now the physician is seen as the revenue generator. How efficient? How can I set up the entire system so the doctor can just do what they do and not have anything else to worry about? So that's the...
And it's also about managing the practice, which means managing the doctor. Don't spend so much time. Don't ask those questions. Don't go down that rabbit hole. We got 10 more waiting in line behind it here. The corporations that own these practices and control these doctors were out to control them. In the old days, the doctor could spend as much time as he wanted. And to hell with the rest of the next patient. I got a problem here. Tell everybody I'm going to be 20 minutes late. What's your problem, Paul? There's something bigger going on here. Come back again. See me. We're not. I don't think we've gotten there yet. I'll give you a pill to get you through the week here, but I think there's a bigger problem.
So far, Clarence. Yeah, so you see the situation very well. The practice of medicine is really the business of medicine that's put on a lean management program to improve efficiency. But all of that, where's the patient in all that? Are they pawns? Are they just part of that business wheel that just keeps churning?
And what happened to this notion? I hear it stated all the time when they talk about other social issues. You can't get between the patient and their doctor. Like, this is a sacred bond and a real consultative model. It's supposed to be. But I don't have a consultative model. I have a mechanic. I bring the car in. He fixes it. I never see him till the car breaks again.
Yeah, the term "my doctor" has kind of went away. And it really hurts the way that I practice medicine, because you want to build those relationships. But the other piece I want to make sure I get in there is you have a disconnect between the provider of the care and the payer of the care. And so when the provider is now billing someone external to themselves, the only incentive is to increase cost, because I want to see how much this payer is going to pay, right?
Yeah.
When you align the provider of the care and the payer of the care, now I'm actually paying to provide the care, right? My incentive is to decrease cost, because I'm trying to be more efficient in how I'm using my resources, right? So the cost now, I'm incentivized to bring the cost down. So our current model with insurance companies being the payer and the providers just providing and billing fee for service, all I'm going to do, if you're looking at for business, the only way I can make more money and make more profit, see more patients, do more procedures, bill more. That's the only way, because someone else is paying.
That's the holy mantra, isn't it, Dr. Trin? It's to see more patient, bill more, and what was the other one?
Throughout the country. So Clarence, what is the solution?
Yeah. Or what's your solution?
The solution is what I'm doing with the Exhort Health. So we are doing the traditional, I'm in network with traditional payers, but the idea is to go to a privatized model. The whole idea, offering a membership where I'm incentivized to add more value to the patient, to make more value, make the membership more valuable. So right now, direct primary care model, I have Exhort Health members. Anything that I can take care of at the center, x-ray, ultrasound, anything I can do in the primary care setting, it's covered with their membership. It solves your unknown, how much it's going to cost when you go in.
Right.
It's what costs. You don't get another bill. There's no more nickel and diming in the patient. My job is to add more value to the system, increase the user base, and acquire more assets, meaning, okay, now maybe a hydrographic physical therapy. Now I start up a pediatrics unit. Now maybe I start up internal medicine. Now I have all these different specialties. Maybe I get an MRI machine next. So the idea is the ownership and the equity needs to be with the providers, and we need to have everything under one umbrella so we can address costs. You get one fee, it's like a Netflix for medicine. That's what I tell you, it's like a Netflix.
Netflix for medicine. Okay, I like that.
Subscription service, kind of.
Subscription, you pay it, but it's not like, oh, I'm just paying and not getting it, not getting value, right? And that's the model. So I feel like with Exhort Health, we'll start with one location, acquiring more and more assets, offer more and more for membership. And it needs to be a pitch to the businesses.
And would you ever branch into, well, the people traditionally call these alternatives, but something other than a pillar procedure? Maybe it's yoga, maybe it's a dietary assistance, maybe it's other things that affect your health, but don't directly affect the problem in front of you here.
You have to address everything, because if you have a membership model, and there's a couple models that are doing pretty good. A Kaiser is close, and then there's like Intermountain Health. I think they're in Utah. They're pretty close too. But the idea is you want to decrease the barriers to utilization because you want to get ahead of stuff.
Right.
Okay. Start having complications of conditions being uncontrolled. Now, traditional insurance, there's nothing but barriers. There's nothing but barriers. Oh, are you in network? What is there? How much coinsurance is for that? Is that actually covered? Is that drug on formulary? All of these things just narrow what they can pay for, right? All of these are barriers. So the idea is you want to decrease the barriers. You don't want the patient thinking about how much it's going to cost me. How long am I going to have to wait? You want to decrease the barrier. Patients will utilize more and they will be healthier. It's really simple in my mind, but.
So how is it different, your model, than the concierge care, where folks pay that yearly annual fee?
It's very similar. The only difference is that the fees will support the system. See, so concierge care is, oh, you have a doc, you got access to the doc, but I don't own the system. If you need to go somewhere now, I'm going to send you to a hospital. Exhort Health eventually will have hospitals. So you have a membership, right? And now it's like I drop into a city. I got hospitals. I got all the specialists. I got MRIs. I got everything that the patient needs. Right with the employer, I say, hey, you know how much you're going to spend on healthcare costs this year? Oh, no, you don't, because you don't know how much your employees are going to utilize this year. Oh, you don't. Oh, with Exhort Health, hey, let me get all your members, all of your employees on Exhort Health's plan. There's going to be one fee.
But any more cost. But like a concierge care model, do I get to see you more often? And do we have longer conversations about the whole picture?
Absolutely, because I don't have to jam them in. Like, people are thinking that the 15 minutes is just how medicine is done. The only reason it's done that way is because of the model, is who's driving
right.
It. If it's a membership model, if the business now, and this is the out of the box thought, instead of only making more patients, more procedures, how about you get innovative in how you add value to the patient? And how about innovative in how you drive revenue into the practice, opposed to decreasing the quality of your care and the time with your patient? How about we get our brains together, figure out how we can add more value to get more revenue in, opposed to just seeing patients?
And then does it lead to a different outcome, a different goal, which is prevention rather than cure?
Absolutely.
That's the idea. Right now, if a patient has to worry about even utilize, they're going to utilize less. They're going to go less. There's no incentive to go. And so right now, the whole model is set up. People don't want to use insurance. If insurance was really doing what they were supposed to do, it would be easier to see the doctor insurance. Yeah. If they were really doing what they're supposed to.
Right. It was supposed to take down that cost barrier. Don't worry about it. Go see them anytime you want. You got insurance.
It would be easier to use insurance, but it's not. And we have to ask ourselves, why is it more complicated to use the thing that our regulations say we have to have? Why is it more complicated to use insurance? I'm a business owner. If I got a cash patient coming in, cash is there. Cash is right there in my hand. I don't have to have the administrative burden to try to collect from an insurance company, which could take me 60 days, 90 days. Sometimes I got to appeal it.
The claim's denied or whatever. All right, so you're trying to do something where you're creating, it's almost like you're going back to a direct relationship with the patient. I will provide services to you, as well as a menu of things to offer, not just the one thing I do. I'm a hand surgeon. I'm a cancer specialist. I do that and that alone. You're going to give them a wider menu to choose from, and you're going to deal with me. So I'm here to incentivize, to get you to offer as many things so you'll pay for my subscription fee. You don't get one movie on Netflix, you get a million movies on Netflix, and give more time and access to you?
So what's on the menu?
Yeah, what's on the menu?
Are you mainly a primary care provider? Are there additional value that's added to that? Do they have better access more than 9 to 5? Or what is
What's on the menu?
Good. So right now it's what I can pack into my one location. What many services, how many additional things can I pack in here? So that's in a normal model, hey, if you need a lab, it's going to cost you more. Well, I'm incentivized to bulk up my lab, right? Have more capacity, right? So when the patient comes in, I can handle more of the things. So that's labs, that's x-rays, they need ultrasound, they need anything that I can handle in the actual office. And so—
How about more diagnostic? We haven't had him on the show, but I've read about him. We probably should have him on the show. There's another similar idea here in Orange County. I think they've got 3 clinics, one up in LA and one in Orange County and somewhere else. And it's a similar idea. It's a subscription-based medical model. And their pitch is, we got more technology. So we're going to give you more scans and monitoring things and stuff. We're going to give you more feedback and more data. We're going to collect more data on you so that we can catch stuff early and create a plan so it doesn't escalate to a crisis. Any of that kind of technology stuff in the—
I like a lot of the new diagnostic tools and the data kind of producing devices. But, you know, I feel that people are people. The human body is exactly the same as it was hundreds of years ago. And if you just spend time with people, you get to know them, you can offer the best care. You don't necessarily need to have data on data.
Right.
But at the same time, and they need to know somebody's in their corner and pushing for them and guiding them with kind of the appropriate guidance to be as helpful.
Because, for example, Dr. Trins had several people on, some friends of his and other people that he knows, who are really trying to pioneer telemedicine. The idea that we can collect data remotely on you and monitor to you, your glucose levels, your—
Patient monitoring.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I love that. And it's convenience, and it's the best thing for the patient. Right? Like, if it's the best thing for the patient, it's going to make utilizing benefits easier.
Well, let's just share with you, because we started before you came on, we were encapsulating again, Dr. Trin and some other doctors have started this other— they got a whole other crazy idea, which is this sort of online community, setting it up as a decentralized model. It's more like a co-op. Everybody gets some say and stake in the game. And it starts off as an education model. There's seminars, there's information, there's data, there's a communication. It's a giant group therapy. Everybody gets to exchange information and ideas and stuff. But beyond that, what could it evolve into? I don't know. It's the idea of putting the patients together, pooling the patients together and the knowledge and the questions and creating a community for them. Now, maybe it's not delivering a service at this point because it's just online, but maybe it's delivering a needed service, which is a place to learn, to explore, to ask, to question, which I don't get at the doctor anymore. I don't get any time to question, explore, ask.
Mental health just doesn't exist.
Out the door. I'm sorry you got lots of questions, Paul, but you know, your 15 minutes is up. I gave you a pill. You're go home and I'll see you when the car breaks again. So I don't know if you've— I'll let Dr. Trin explore it a little more. You're not familiar with what he's trying to do too, but you're all trying to fumble around in the and find some other answer other than fee for service stuff, this traditional model. What do you— give him a quick summary, Dr. Trin, what you're trying to do with MDDAO.
MDDAO.com. You can find us on there. Well, we've actually launched— we're whitelisting right now, but basically what it is that we want to create a community to reimagine what healthcare should look like compared to what it looks like today. And that community is going to be in a structure called a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization. I don't— 99% of folks have never heard of that.
It's like a co-op where everybody gets some say in it. Yeah,
it's
right.
Like a co-op. But what this co-op will do is that this co-op will give patients a voice on how to design or redesign healthcare with that. And so, yeah, this is something new, something a little innovative.
So is it just an information platform, or it could be something evolve into something
more? More than an information platform. It's an information platform that actually will be developed in a healthcare metaverse.
So maybe they could partner with or guide people or direct people to new clinics like Dr. Lee's creating here. New, if you call it a clinic, what do you call it? Is it a clinic? Is it a club? Is it a— what do we call these new things here?
Dr. Clarence Club.
Yeah. What do you call it, Doctor? I mean, how would you explain it to Dr. Lee? Is
I let folks know it's an organization, because I think people say a practice or a clinic, but I'm really trying to build a system.
Yeah. So it sounds like, right.
Call it an organization or a system, because that's where we're going.
Where are you located? Are you in California?
Yeah, we're in North San Diego County, a little town called San Marcos, California.
I know it well. Yeah. Right near, not just inland from Oceanside there, in a very near the Cal State camp. The latest Cal State campus was built at San
Marcos. Probably like below Camp Pendleton, right?
Yes. Yes. It's a little further south, Camp Pendleton.
Got it. Well, okay, I'm going to have to drop by.
And why did you pick that place out of all the places?
Yeah. So when I first got to California, I was in Northern California. I was stationed at Beale Air Force Base. I'm from Missouri. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, originally.
Okay.
It's California. I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. And then we vacationed down to San Diego, and I was like, oh, it gets better. And so when we were deciding where we're going to go after I separated from the Air Force, it's just really hard to leave this Southern California, man. We love it. So yeah, we were in Carlsbad originally, and then San Marcos. I have a big family. I got 5 kids, and you get a little bit more space for your money. And so we ended up settling in San Marcos. It's a nice little growing community here.
Well, Dr. Trin's familiar with all that because his son just joined the Marines. He's now a lieutenant in the Marines.
Oh, yes, he'll be out in Camp Pendleton doing some extra training.
That's awesome. I can't say enough about the serving in the military. It really kind of changed my life. And there's no question about it.
Well, Dr. Trin, when he immigrated from Vietnam as a little kid, came here. His parents brought him here after the fall of Vietnam. He joined the military because it was a sort of way to give back to this new country here. And his son, I guess, saw this thing. I think we should have his son on someday because it's an amazing stunt. This isn't a kid who came out of high school and didn't know what to do. He went to UC Santa Barbara. He excelled. He had all this other stuff. And after he graduated, he said, I'm going to now go back and put in some time into the military and do something back. It's like, wow, how many kids do that? I got out of college. The last thing I'm thinking about is going to the military. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to have some fun here.
I will say this, and Doc, maybe this was your experience too, but coming out in the Air Force, I felt like I was doing like 10 or 12 people's jobs, right? So then I come out as a civilian and then I get a position as a center medical director. And I'm like, that's all you?
I can do more.
You're well positioned to compete in the marketplace because you're driven for execution.
And yeah.
You're used to doing a lot.
And the other thing that I think that I hear more and more, I was never in the military, but I hear more and more is that the modern military isn't just command and control. Just do what I say and quit questioning. Just run up that hill and don't ask me why. They're very adaptive. Out on the battlefield, they're decentralized. These commanders have a lot of choice. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do this. I still got to report. I still got to bring other people into the loop here, but we can adapt. Because that's how we survive once the battle starts. I don't think modern medicine is very adaptive. It's very command and control. Just do it this way and don't ask why. And I know it's not perfect, but just do it.
Yeah, well, you're trained to have confidence in your expertise, right? And so you pipe up. If you have something to say, if you've got something that you notice trained, you should pipe up. So the military trains you to be confident in your training.
Right.
You know? And so you are a valuable member of the team. So we need that information. I agree. Healthcare now, we need that. So it's not just the business that's driving it. I need the input from the medical assistants, the nurses, physician assistants, the nurse practitioners, the doc. Everybody needs to be.
And maybe like Dr. Trin tried to do, empowering the patients to have a voice in this too.
Absolutely. I feel like during the pandemic, the healthcare providers, it was just, can't even express how I felt. Just, you're not as valued. You're not, and no one sees the sacrifices that you're doing. You are the ones that have to go in there and take care of the sick patient, risk getting COVID, taking it home to your family, all because you, and we're all altruistic. Like, you don't get into medicine because you don't want to help people. All of us want to help people. And then if you have a business or an organization that's driving you and doesn't really appreciate what you're doing, it leads to burnout. And that's why you're seeing so many people leaving healthcare. That's why we're in the situation that we're in. So I feel like if the providers aren't actually leading the organization, so if you got a CEO that's telling you to see a patient every 10 minutes, have you ever seen a patient every 10 minutes? Have you ever done?
Right.
Have you done what you're asking to do?
And my question is that really delivering good service? If my mechanic rushed cars through every 10 minutes, would he really find the problem and fix it?
It can't. It can't. I mean, sometimes it takes 15 minutes to get the whole history. I mean, the patient wants, you got to make the patient feel comfortable. But sometimes the real thing doesn't come out until 15 minutes, you know? So
yeah, right.
You have to spend time. You have to.
The clients, I saw a few of your videos. They're really good. And are you?
You say that like you're surprised. Wow, they're really good.
Are you faith-based?
I am. We are. So I'm Christian. Yes. Yeah, so we're an extension of the healing ministry of Jesus Christ, but it's the way that I wanted to create a system where I was going to do what I wanted done to me. And so I'll just give you an example. Like, my staff is trained here. We don't turn people away.
Mm.
We do the right thing. So if they can't pay, we're going to figure something out, but we're not going to do. It's like the current system, it makes it okay to just turn someone away.
Yeah.
That's the right thing. When is that ever the right thing? That's never the right. When would you want someone to do that to you? Right. So I'm like, okay, let me use my brain. Let me be innovative. Let me figure out how I can create a healthcare model where I actually do the right thing.
Wow. Well, again, you're in total sync with Dr. Trin, because he's a good, committed Christian, and he doesn't wear it on his sleeve all the time, but he does things like this tongue out, a medical missionary work that he created, where they go and stick your tongue out to these disadvantaged places in Vietnam and Haiti and other places like that, and all sorts of things. He's always supporting medical missions and Christian-based things and stuff. And he's even talked about this, because I'm a good Irish Catholic. He's had a few people come on and say, maybe there's just a time all the doctor can do is hold your hand and say a prayer with you. What? When's the doctor ever going to do that? I'm not comfortable praying. I'm not here to pray with you. I don't know what's going to happen, quite frankly. And why don't you leave and go talk to somebody about it? Because I got somebody else to see here.
I think when you're operating as if it's your, in the Christian world, as this is your ministry, this is what you have been positioned to add value to the world. This is ministry. It's just mission. It's a little different. You move a little different, right? Your organizational kind of standards of operation are a little different when you're operating ministry. But now obviously we have to be profitable. You have to make money. You can't just all do all charity. But at the end of the day, if your business model is having you do things that you internally don't feel are right, that's never a good.
So let me see if I can throw another idea in the for both of you here. Is it treating patients as if they're your family? You know, in a Christian-based world, you treat everybody as your brother, your sister. I may not like you and I may not accept you, but you're my brother, so I got to help you here. I can't just turn you away. And the same thing, if this was your child coming in, that's what was my dad used to always say. The doctor would start to throw him, and I said, what if this was your child? What if this was your wife? I'm talking about my wife, my child. Let's make it personal here. This isn't just a number. This is a person.
That's the best decision-making training that I can do. So every member here at Exor Health, I say, you're never going to have a problem. Ask yourself, is that what you would want someone to do?
Yeah, and your family.
And then you're 99% of the time, you're going to do the right thing. You're not going to have any issues from leadership. You're not going to have any problems with me. Do what you feel you would want done.
Yeah.
And it makes it really easy. I don't need to have a lot of procedural kind of, this is how we do it. Hey, do you think it's the right thing to do? Would you want somebody to do that to you?
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't, then we're not going to do that.
Right. What do you think, Dr. Trin? Is this maybe another? It seems like a lot of you guys are all trying to figure out something else. Because the thing we got us to hear, yes, we live longer and certain metrics were met, but more and more patients like me feel totally disconnected from you guys. I don't have a doctor anymore. I don't think of myself having, I have no consultant. I have nobody I go in and cry on his shoulder and share my worries and share my fears and ask questions and whatnot. I do that on my own. I'm left on my own trying to figure out my healthcare. I'll give you a perfect example. So my wife went and she's got a high blood pressure issue. And so her doctor gave her a pill. He didn't tell her anything. And she gets home and her leg starts swelling. And she's scared. She's 70, you know, what the hell's wrong with this? And so she sets another time. She can't get in to see the doctor for a week. And even then she can't see the doctor because he's too busy. So she's going to get assigned to a physician's assistant. So she goes online and starts researching it and finds out it's the pill. The pill she's taking makes your leg swell and causes, it can be a side effect. She had to figure that out for herself. And she's so mad at her doctor saying, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you care when I call up and say, I'm scared? Make an appointment a week from now.
Medicine is a machine.
Mr. Machine?
It's a machine. It's the business of medicine.
I would sign up to practice that way. It's because of the system. That's why I'm encouraging all physicians to begin to exert influence in all areas, not just the clinical decision-making in the exam room, not just there. You can add more value to the entire system, understanding what everyone in that hospital system is doing for you. What is the front office doing? What's the MA doing? What are the nurses doing? If the doctors can understand and exert influence in all those areas, we can create a system that's best for the patient.
And if we can create a connection back again to between the patient and the physician, this idea of a partnership, this idea that we're a collaboration, that you're a consultant. If I brought you in as a consultant in my business, we'd meet on a regular basis. We'd have extended conversations. You'd ask lots of questions. You'd get to know me, and you would be there to advise me at these critical moments, not just shrug and go, I don't know, try this. All I got is this. That consultative sales is taken over in the sales world. It has not taken over. It's gone backwards in the medical field where they used to be the consultant. Well, there you have it. Another reason why you should tune in each and every Thursday right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net. For more health talks with Dr. Trin, join the Face group. Send us your questions. Tell us what you'd like to hear coming up.